Of the year now, we truly ask that you would be at work, that your spirit would be at work in the hearts and the minds of your people across the world, that your spirit would be working in our communities, softening hearts, bringing hope where there is no hope, bringing healing where there is hurting. Father, ultimately we ask that this year that you would look on our church, our community, our country, our world. We ask that you would look on our world with your favour. And that this would be a year of peace and rest. In your name. Amen. Well, thanks for joining in on that. It's always a blessing to pray together with others, and it's such a wonderful blessing just to hear so many prayers being said here together at church. And it's an even better blessing that we bring these prayers before the God who hears and he answers in accordance with his will. So we pray that this year will be a good one and a blessed one. Because, well, as we all know, as we've said a few times, today's New Year's Day. Now, Pete's already brought it up, the whole idea about New Year's resolutions. And I don't know about you, but as we've said, this is a time of year where lots of people have a little bit more time on their hands, so they use that time to think about the things that they'll do, and new things that they'll do in the new year, or new goals that they want to achieve, or new habits that they want to develop, or new successes that they want to achieve. And we want to think about the ways that the new year is going to be new and better than the last. And look, it can be really helpful to do that. I'm not saying don't do that. And I mean, if that's your thing, then pray for God's guidance and ask that he will give you new things that will be good for you, and work towards them with all the power that the Spirit gives you. But this morning, we're not going to be talking about a new thing. This morning, I'm not going to cover five new ways to follow Jesus in the new year. We're going to look at one very old idea. A very old idea which tells us how we can follow Jesus in 2023, well, how we can follow Jesus in every year. Let's pray pray with me now, and we'll look into it. So if you'd like to bow your heads. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Father, we thank you that your word tells us everything that we need to know to live, everything that we need to know to follow you. Father, we thank you that this word has been with us our whole lives, and in it we find every good thing, everything that we are looking for in life. And Father, we pray that this morning that you would help this word to be real to us, and may you reveal what you're saying to us in a way that will stay with us this year into the rest of our lives, that we would follow Jesus this year, and that we would follow Jesus all our lives. And not just follow him, but follow him closer and closer the longer the time draws on. And so be at work this morning through your word, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, for this New Year's sermon, we're going to be turning to the book of Colossians. And we're going to do a big sweep across Colossians because, I mean, there's a whole lot of great wisdom for us in this book. So if you've got a Bible with you, please open it to Colossians, and we'll because we're going to be having a look at quite a lot of it this morning. Now first, a bit of context. Colossae was a city in what is now modern-day Turkey. So, I mean, you can see the west coast of Turkey here. There's Ephesus, which was the main town there, and here's Colossae over here. It was a real city, and that's where it really was. It was on an important highway. I mean, you can see there's a highway that comes here all the way through to Ephesus, because Ephesus was the main port. So it was on an important highway, and so there was a very diverse range of people who lived there in Colossae. And because it was on an important highway, there was also a diverse range of ideas that kept passing through as well. Now, as far as we know, Paul, who wrote the letter, had never been to Colossae, but he'd heard from his friend Epaphras that something was up at the church there. Man, he He doesn't say explicitly, certainly, what it was, but it seems that some of the people in Colossae were starting to blend beliefs. They were treating religion like a bit of a smorgasbord, taking a bit of this one here and a bit of that one there, whatever it seemed like they would enjoy most at the time. There were people who were saying, well, you know, Jesus is all well and good, but, you know, to be really, really holy, you need to not eat that and you need to not touch that. Then you'll be really holy. You know, Jesus is good, but, you know, to really get there, that's you also need to do this too. We know, you know, they were saying things like, you know, we know Jesus is a really good guy, but to be really spiritual, you need to worship angels as well. You know, angels who can take you to special realms where you can see spiritual visions, then you'll be really spiritual. I mean, some of the stuff that they were being told that they also had to do was coming from out of Judaism, but other bits were coming from the other religions that were around Colossae. You know, it seems, you know, they were just cherry-picking the things that they thought were best from all the options that were around them. Sound familiar? So, I mean, Colossians is a really applicable book for us today because we all know that the same stuff goes on here. Even now we get told a bunch of things that we need to do apart from Jesus, which will make us better Christians. And to that kind of thinking, Paul's message in this book of Colossians is really clear. His message is, why would you look anywhere other than Jesus? I mean, let me read from Colossians 1, verse 15. He says, Jesus is the image of the invisible God. He is the firstborn over all creation, for everything was created by him in heaven and on earth, the visible and the invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things have been created through him and for him. He's before all things, and by him all things hold together. He's also the head of the body, the church. He's from the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he might come to have first place in everything. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile everything to himself, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. You know, once you were alienated and hostile in your minds, as expressed in your evil actions, but he has now reconciled you by his physical body through his death to present you holy, faultless, and blameless before him, if indeed you remain grounded and steadfast in the faith and are not shifted away from the hope of the gospel that you've heard. The message of Colossians is that Christ is everything, and in him we have everything. If we turn to, you know, religious rules that he didn't give, or we turn to spiritual beings and other sources of revelation, we turn away from Jesus, who is the one in whom we find all the things that we want to look for. So I guess, what does it mean for the new year? It means that though the year may be new, though there might be new things we want to see in the new year, which we've just spent some time praying for, though we might make resolutions to do things in new and different ways, one thing that should never change is following Jesus and seeking to become more mature in him and seeking to let all the distractions fall away to the side so that we can focus on him. And the way we do that, it hasn't changed since Paul wrote this letter 2,000 years ago, almost. So, I mean, rather than a totally new Christianity for a new year, I mean, let's resolve this year to follow Christ the old way, which Paul tells us in chapter 2, verse 6 and 7, where he says, so then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to walk in him, being rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, just as you were taught, and overflowing with gratitude. Now these are really important verses. I mean, commentators say that these are the key verses of the book of Colossians. I reckon it would be really great, yeah, and just because they are so important and we're all here together, I think it'd be really great if we could read these verses out loud together. So I've got it up on the board there. If we could all read it out together. So please, how about we say them together now? So then, just as you have received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to walk in him, being rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, just as you were taught, and overflowing with gratitude. Cool. Thanks, everybody. I mean, if you're the type who makes New Year's resolutions, let me encourage you to resolve to commit those verses to memory, because those verses are a big deal. And this, I mean, there's a whole sermon series in those verses. But for now, I won't subject you to a sermon series now, but we'll just have a look at the highlights there. So, as we're thinking about today, how do we follow Jesus in 2023? Just as we received Christ Jesus as Lord, we continue to walk in him. We follow Jesus in the new year the same way we did when we first started following him. I mean, how did we receive Christ Jesus as Lord? When we heard the good news about him and about who he was, about what he'd done, and how he was what we needed with whatever the situation that we were in, and then we trusted him. We trusted that he was good and that his promises were true, and that it was only in that trust and demonstrating our trust by obeying him, only then did we have hope. And because Paul says here we receive him as Lord, that is someone who you do what they say, we don't just, not just as the one who died on the cross for your sins. I mean, thankfully that's a key part of it, but when we receive him as Lord, we receive him as the one who gets to tell us what to do. And when we received him in the first place, we trusted him and we did it. I guess for me, thinking all the way back to high school, it was realizing that knowing about Jesus wasn't enough. Being able to answer Bible trivia questions didn't give me any hope. Just feeling like Jesus was a good guy without actually knowing him wasn't going to cut it. That all the things I wanted, really wanted, you know, love and hope and joy, Jesus was offering them to me if I turned to him personally and obeyed him. Not just knowing stuff about him. And if I turned to him, trust him, obey him, I would find the things that I wanted rather than thinking that I knew best for myself and going my own way. I mean, that's how I received Christ Jesus as Lord initially. And what Paul is saying this morning is that that is what the Christian life looks like all the time. The Christian life doesn't start by hearing something about Jesus and praying a prayer and then moving on to more important things, like, you know, more and more detailed teaching about more and more obscure things that doesn't focus on Jesus. A more detailed list of do's and don'ts to earn holiness apart from Jesus. A checklist of spiritual activities that have nothing to do with Jesus. The Christian life doesn't start with Jesus and then move on from him as if Jesus is the one who gets you over the line of being a Christian, and then once you're over the line, we leave him back there while we move off by ourselves and become, you know, more mature. You know, we don't run off, so we get to a point where we say, well, you know, I'm a level 10 Christian because I know stuff, and I'm a higher level Christian because I do stuff that baby Christians don't even know about, and because of what I know and what I do, that makes me a better Christian than all the others who don't know the things that I know and the things and do the things I do. And those baby Christians, I'm glad that Jesus got them over the line, but now that they're over the line, they need me. They need to become more like me so I can tell them how to become a higher level Christian. I mean, that's not how it works. The Christian life is always about Jesus. The Christian life for the most mature Christian looks basically the same as it does for believers who've just put their faith in Jesus. We hear the good news about Jesus. We receive it as good news for us in relation to our lives. And we receive it as good news, you know, as news that truly gives us hope for the future. And we trust and obey. Just as new believers call out to Jesus, asking for him for help and grace, mature Christians also call out to Jesus, asking him for help and grace. The topic might be different, but that's what we do. It still looks the same. And no one ever graduates from that. There is no, well, that's what baby Christians have to do, but I'm a mature Christian, and so that doesn't apply to me anymore. And Paul says here, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to walk in him. That's how the whole Christian life works. And that's how we can all follow Jesus in 2023. Now, when Paul says continue to walk in him, he has four main things that he has in mind in verse 7. And that's being rooted in Christ, being built up on Christ, being established in Christ, and overflowing with thankfulness because of him. And now we'll spend a bit of time digging into those now. So, I mean, first, continuing in Christ by having our foundations more firmly rooted in him. I mean, with that kind of language, you can't help but think of the parable of the two houses here. You know, the one built on the sand, the other with its foundation in the rock. And what was the foundation that Jesus was talking about in that parable? He says, therefore, everyone who hears the words of mine and acts on them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The wise man who rooted his foundations in the most solid place. So just as we hear, just as we heard some of Jesus' words and acted on them when we first became Christians, I mean, the Christian life, maturing as a Christian, just means hearing more and more of Jesus' words and acting on them. More and more actively seeking Jesus' words in more and more areas of our lives so that we can act on them and obey them. You know how when, you know, people become Christians and they think, oh, Jesus doesn't want me to think like that anymore. He's got a better way. So I'll think his way. As an example, you know, Jesus says the world isn't a total accident that's created by random chance. God created everything and he created it all in love and with purpose. He created me in love with purpose. I'm not just an accident here. I really matter. That's what Jesus says. I'm going to think that way instead. He doesn't want me to keep doing this thing which is hurting the others around me. He's got a better way. I'll do that. He saved me from that. He made me a new person. I'm not a slave to those old ways anymore. So I'm going to be the new person that he's made me to be. I mean, Paul picks up on that idea in Colossians 3, verse 5, when he says, you know, therefore put to death what belongs to your earthly nature, sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desire, greed, which is idolatry. Because of these things, God's wrath is coming on the disobedient. You once walked in these things when you were living in them, but now put away, put it all away. Put away anger, wrath, malice, slander, and filthy language from your mouth. Don't lie to one another. Since you've put off the old self with its practices, you put on the new self. It's foundational stuff. In Christ, we are new creations. And if we're going to continue in Christ, that old stuff needs to be put to death. Realizing that Christ has made us new people, holy people, saints, and realizing that that's who we are now in him, we live like it. I mean, that's the big idea for the first 10 chapters of 1 Corinthians. Paul says, you are saints. God has made you saints. Live like that. Put away all the stuff that's just merely human. So we continue following Jesus by continuing to deepen these roots of our foundation in him, understanding what he's done for us, listening to his word for us, and acting on it. So that when the storms come in 2023, we'll be rooted into this good foundation and be able to weather them. So that was the first one. The next one's like it. Continuing in Christ means that as we build our lives, we build on his foundation. And we build in the way and in the manner that he tells us to. I mean, that means this year, when, you know, we think about the things that we're going to do, we bring them before Jesus first. We seek what he's saying to us in his word first, rather than running off ahead and doing it our own way and only coming to Jesus as an afterthought, asking him to bless whatever idea that we've already run off with.
I mean, I remember
when I first became a Christian at high school, you know, I really wanted to know what Jesus wanted me to do, how he wanted me to build my life. I remember in grade 8, I got a little, just one of the little Gideon's Bibles. You probably know the ones. And I remember picking that up when I became a Christian. And you'd open to the page with all the topic headings on it. You know, verses to read when you're anxious, or verses to read when you're afraid, or verses to read when you're angry. When I first became a Christian, I looked up those verses because I wanted to know what Jesus wanted me to do, how he wanted me to build my life. And growing up as a Christian, it's about doing that kind of thing more and more. What does Jesus say when I feel like this? What does Jesus say about how I deal with this difficult thing? What does Jesus say about work? What does Jesus say about family and parenting? What does Jesus say about the kind of person I should be? What does he say about retirement? And if we're going to build our lives on him, we find out what Jesus says about all of these things and any other thing that comes to mind. And then we build according to that. And I mean what Jesus himself says here. I mean, I've read a lot of arguments that people make about all sorts of things, but when you look up what Jesus actually says in context, he's not saying what the people are saying at all. So, I mean, read the books, watch the YouTube clips. I mean, you can't, that's fine. But always check whether Jesus actually says what other people are saying that he says. Because we want to be these people who are building our lives on him and his foundation, on his word. That's what we have as personal goals for people here at Gympie Baptist, that we have a growing esteem of Jesus, a growing love of the Bible, and an increasingly healthy interest in theology. Because the more we grow in each of these things, the more rooted and built up our lives will be in Christ and on Christ. And speaking of church, I mean, Paul talks in Colossians about how we should relate to each other. We think, well, how the Colossians should relate to each other, but I think by extension how we should relate to each other here at Gympie Baptist this year, and for, you know, and every other year that's afterwards. So in Colossians 3 from verse 12, therefore, as God's chosen ones, holy and dearly loved, so first, as I was saying before, we remember who we are in Christ, who God has made us, and we live according to that. So we live, you know, therefore, as God's chosen ones, holy and dearly loved, put on compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, bearing with one another, and forgiving one another if anyone has a grievance against another. Just as God has forgiven you, so you are also to forgive. It sounds nice, but when you stop and think about the cross and Jesus' forgiveness on the cross, that's a really big statement. Verse 14, he says, above all, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. And let the peace of Christ, to which you were called in one body, rule your hearts, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell richly among you in all wisdom and admonishing one another through psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. If that's the attitude that we all take into 2023 about how we relate to each other at church, that's how we want to build on the foundation of who we are in Christ as God's chosen ones, to be like him. You know, that we're people who are made holy by God and dearly loved by God, no matter what other people think of us. And then we build our community Christ's way by being compassionate to one another, kind, humble, gentle, patient, bearing with one another and forgiving one another, loving one another, being thankful, being in a place of peace. If that's the kind of place that Gympie Baptist can be this year, we'll have a good year in 2023. I think when you read through that list, when people become Christian, I think they just expect churches to be like that because, you know, when we first receive Jesus as Lord, we know that that's the way that churches should be. I mean, sadly, too often, they find that churches aren't like that once they turn up. But I pray that we can continue in Christ by building community in our church in this old way from Colossians this new year. Now, we're on to the third. So that was the third thing that Paul had in mind when he said, that was the second thing Paul had in mind when he says continue to walk in Christ. Now we're on to the third. It's that we continue to walk in Christ, established in the faith. That is, that we'd have a firm commitment to Jesus that only grows deeper over time. I mean, think about when people first become believers. They're so sure about Jesus, so convinced that he is the answer, so, you know, steadfast in their commitment to Jesus at that time. If they have a question about anything, they ask because they want to know Jesus better and have their firm commitment only even more strengthened. You know, Paul is saying here that just like we were so convinced when we first came to Christ, he wants us to be more and more convinced over time, to grow closer to him and surer about him as we continue to walk in him. I guess the parable of the soils comes to mind. You know, when we first become Christians, I guess we don't know all the ways that our faith is going to be challenged. I mean, think of the second soil. Times will come where someone makes it difficult for us to continue in Jesus. And at those times, we'll have a choice to turn away. We'll have a choice, or we'll have a choice to put our head in the sand and wait for it to go away whilst ourselves are unchanged. I mean, I don't think either of those are how God wants us to continue in Christ. We also have an option to draw nearer to Christ and his word. Even come to him in prayer and ask him some difficult questions. Express our doubts to him and ask to know him more. Ask that we would grow in the knowledge and the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Search the scriptures for his answer. Ask wise, godly Christians what they think. And then check it against the word. And so in these ways, draw closer to him. Because at the right time, he will answer. Just think of Job. And when he answers, he will strengthen your commitment to him so it's even stronger than it was before. Just like he did for Job. I mean, that's how God wants us to continue in him. So, I mean, when you think of the second soil in that parable, that's one way. I mean, there's another soil that's like it. That's the thorny soil. I guess what that brings to mind is that over time, as we live our lives, we're always going to be growing closer to something. We're always going to be deepening our commitment to something. And if we're not deliberate about it, the something will choose itself for us and we'll just be going towards it, whether we're aware of it or not. And especially in this world, the something that we end up heading towards will be riches or the pleasures of this life or other worldly concerns, because just naturally, these are the things that we can see and touch and that we deal with every day. And whilst we're still in bodies of flesh, they just have this gravitational pull that wants to pull us towards them. I mean, if we stop and think, we didn't receive Jesus by becoming more committed to riches and pleasures of this life, worldly concerns. We receive Jesus as Lord by committing ourselves to him to the exclusion of those other things. And the way God wants us to continue in the Christian life is to deepen our commitment to Christ and to trust him more than wealth and other worldly things. And so, you know, at the start of a new year, it's an important question to ask yourself. Over the last few years, what does my life show that I'm becoming more committed to? If someone else were to look in at your life and see the decisions that you've made, how you've spent your money, how you spent your time, the things that you get excited about, the things that you talk about, What would they think about what you're becoming more committed to? It's going to be something. There's always something. Is it going to be following Jesus and his ways more closely? Or is it something else? And I mean, I guess I'm just running with the parable of the soils there, but when you think about Colossians, I don't just mean wealth or worldly things. I mean, there's heaps of other things that we can that can turn us aside from Jesus. I mean, look at Colossians 2 from verse 16, where he says, "Therefore, don't let anyone judge you in regard to food and drink and in the matter of a festival or a new moon or a Sabbath day. These are just a shadow of what was to come. The substance is Christ. Let no one condemn you by delighting in ascetic practices," that is, you know, don't do this and don't do that, "and the worship of angels, claiming access to a visionary realm. Such people are inflated by empty notions of their unspiritual mind. He doesn't hold on to the head, from whom the whole body, nourished and held together by its ligaments and tendons, grows with growth from God." I mean, if you died with Christ to the elements of this world, why do you live as if you still belong to the world? Why do you submit to regulations? Don't handle, don't taste, don't touch. All these regulations refer to what's destined to perish by being used up. They're human commands and doctrines. Although these have a reputation for wisdom by promoting self-made religion, false humility, and severe treatment of the body, they're not of any value in curbing self-indulgence. I mean, just wealth and worldly things. But are you getting more committed to something that's just vaguely Christian sounding? But in the end, it's not helping you grow in Christ. It doesn't help anyone grow in Christ. Because it doesn't center on Christ. It's centering on something else. It's not establishing you deeper in Christ. It's establishing you in something else. It's always important. It's always an important question to ask. Is Jesus at the center of this? That's the first three. We continue to walk in Christ in 2023 by seeking to be more deeply rooted in him, having our lives more solidly built on him, having our lives more firmly established in him. The last main thing that Paul has in mind when he says walk in Christ, overflowing with gratitude, thanksgiving. You know how when people first become believers and they're full of thankfulness, full of gratitude to God for all he's done for them? And that's what God wants us to be like all the time. And sadly, we often get this one wrong too. I mean, over time, Christians can end up less overflowing with thankfulness and instead overflowing with condemnation and judgment against others. We can end up overflowing with grumpiness, overflowing with fear and worry, overflowing with cynicism. I mean, look, I can understand where all those things come from, but it's not what God wants from us as we continue to walk in him. When we first become Christian, you know, we're filled with so much thankfulness, but even then, when we first become Christians, there's so much that we don't know about what we have to be thankful for. As we continue to draw closer to him, God wants to keep revealing more and more of himself and his goodness and all he's done for us, so that, you know, to keep revealing these things so that we continue to be thankful through our whole lives, so that we can truly live and overflow with thankfulness as we see all he's done for us, as we see how he's at work in our lives, how we see how he's making all things work together for the good of those who love him, called according to his purpose. So we can see him at work in the life of others. So we can see that his love is bigger for, you know, love for us is bigger than we could ever possibly imagine over and over again. That he knows the end from the beginning, that we can trust him to be working towards something good. When we first receive him as Lord, we're filled with thankfulness, but as we continue to walk with him, he wants to show us lots more reasons that we have to be thankful. I really pray that of all the things that Christians are known for, of all the things that we're known for, rather than being known as, you know, judgmental and cranky, I really pray that one of the first words that we would be known as is thankful. because we really do have a lot to be thankful about. So, I mean, this new year, you know, let's continue to walk in Jesus the old way, like we first received Christ as Lord, being rooted and built up in Him, established in the faith, overflowing with gratitude. I guess ultimately I pray that Colossians 3:17 will be the summary of 2023 for you. Whatever you do, in word or in deed, I mean that's everything, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. Let's pray together now that that would be true. Heavenly Father, and first, we thank You that You are a God who calls people to follow You. Father, we thank You for all that Jesus came and did for us, that we can follow You. And Father, we pray that just as we received Christ Jesus as Lord in the first place, that You would, that this year we would continue to follow Him. Father, help us this year to be more deeply rooted in Him. Father, help us this year that we would, all the things that we do and say, that we would build, that we would do it according to Christ's word, built on the foundation of what He has done for us and the kind of and the people that He has made us, new creations, holy. Father, we pray that this year You would further establish us in Christ and that You would continue to reveal all Your goodness and love to us, that this year we would truly overflow with thanksgiving. And Father, I want to pray for everybody here that at the end of this year, when we get to December 31, that for all of us here, whatever we've done, all the words that we've said, all the deeds that we've done, that we would have done it all, everything, in the name of the Lord Jesus, and that we would be giving thanks to You, our Father, through Him. May we do that, and may it be a blessed year because of You. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.